Well, good morning and happy Easter to everyone. So glad you could join us today. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And on this Easter Sunday, I'd like to speak on the thought of the greatest gift. The greatest gift. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 20. The Bible reads, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the sharing of his word. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for Jesus. Dear God, as we look to the Word of God today, we ask for your anointing to fill our hearts and minds. Give words to this, your speaker today. Give us all ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. There's so much that we can talk about as it relates to the resurrection. Jesus, in being raised from the dead on the third day after he was crucified, shows that he is victorious over death, and not just his own death for a time, but death once and for all, for everyone who would put their faith and trust in Jesus. And as Jesus said, and we don't have time to get into it this morning, but Jesus rising from the dead proved that he was the very Son of God. But as we're going to see this morning, not only does the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ say a lot about Jesus, that he was more than just a man, he is the very Son of God, making him equal with God himself. He is God. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ also grants us a number of wonderful blessings in our lives that are literally indescribable. For one, because Jesus did rise from the dead, we can be sure that he is the Son, and so our faith in him is not in vain. If you believe Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins are forgiven, and they will never be remembered against you ever again. But beyond that, we are also told that when Jesus rose from the dead, he not only destroyed the power of death, he brought with him gifts to give humanity. Reading the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." And of course, when we think of gifts, the most important gift that God has given us is the gift of salvation. I just talked about that a moment ago. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you are saved. Your sins are forgiven. You are made a brand new person in Jesus. All the things that you've ever done that are wrong or shameful against God and against others are immediately stricken from your record. And I thank God for that once we accept Jesus, we have that saving gift, that forgiving gift in our life that frees us from all guilt and all shame. But there's more to the resurrection power and the gifts that come with it than just the forgiveness of sins. Let's take a look at one of the last promises that Jesus gave to his disciples before he, and of course after he rose from the dead. The Bible teaches us that he shared with the disciples off and on for a period of 40 days. And after that 40-day period, the Bible says he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But prior to doing that, he gave this is one of the promises that he gave to his disciples. Reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 46 through 49, the Bible says, "He, being Jesus, said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" So not only did Jesus give them the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, but he told them, and it kind of relates or directly relates to the scripture we read just a few moments ago from Ephesians chapter 4, talking about his ascension. He told them that when he ascended, he would pray to the Father, and the Father would send them power from on high. He would send them the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did come upon the disciples, and from that moment on has been and is still working in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And through this spiritual relationship that we have with Jesus, we have a great many gifts. In fact, the first gift that we've talked about, or the gift of salvation, comes through this self-same Spirit. Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So as far as you and I receiving this forgiveness of sins and freedom from guilt and shame in our lives, it comes because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again. But it also comes to our life because the Holy Spirit comes upon our hearts, comes upon our souls. He convicts us of our sins, lets us know there are things in our lives that disqualify us from the blessings of God. But he also lets us know that what Jesus Christ did, number one, was real, and number two, real in that because he is the Son of God, and because he was sinless, when he died, he paid for the penalty of our sin. But number two, he did that for you and for me. And so anyone who would confess and receive him as Lord and as Savior in their lives would receive that gift of forgiveness. So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, but he also convicts people or convinces people that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. But the Holy Spirit, this wonderful promise that Jesus gave his disciples, that the Father granted them, does so much more. His ministry and the gifts that he brings doesn't end when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Rather, it is the beginning of a wonderful experience and relationship with Jesus. For one thing, the fulfillment of that gift, according to the book of Acts chapter 2, meant that the Holy Spirit wasn't only going to come and give us gifts, and he wasn't only going to come, as alluded to in Luke chapter 24, and give us power. He was going to come and dwell within us, and within us in no small measure. Reading the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost, now let me just give you some history as far as, or some background according to this passage that I'm reading. Before Jesus ascended, he promised that power was going to come down from on high. Then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Then the disciples, the Bible says, just kind of stood there and were looking up into heaven, trying to figure out what was going on. Then two angels appeared and said Jesus was going to return. Why are you just standing there? And so they left where Jesus ascended, the Mount of Ascension, and they went to Jerusalem. They went to a place called the Upper Room, and they prayed for a period of 10 days. And interestingly enough, on the 10th day was a day of a Jewish feast called the Day of Pentecost. Something wonderful and something spectacular happened. And that wonderful and spectacular thing that happened was the fulfillment of the promise of the Father, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let's read what happened when the Holy Spirit came. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, as you know, especially if you've watched me or if you've attended our church for any amount of time, we are a Pentecostal church. And what it means as far as being a Pentecostal church, we believe that the Holy Spirit moves today like he did on the day of Pentecost. And one of the things that we look for, we expect, we enjoy is the moving and the works of the Holy Spirit within our church, within our lives, within our midst. We love the miraculous. We love the speaking in tongues. We love the manifestation of God's power in its various forms and ways. But the moving of the Holy Spirit, if we were just to say God gave power on that day, we would not be doing what God did or describing what God did in a just or complete manner. We would not be doing it justice. And what I mean by that is this. When these men were empowered that day, it wasn't just some kind of supernatural power that was upon them. The very third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God himself, was dwelling within them and dwelling within them in an overwhelming, empowering sense. Once again, verse 4. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and then began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I love that word filled. It means to be full, but there's also an understanding of being saturated. That word filled is used in several times in the New Testament. And one time it's used is during the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us as Jesus was going through the process of crucifixion, someone grabbed a sponge, put it on a reed and filled it with vinegar and gave it to Jesus to drink. And apparently as an anesthetic to help him with the pain. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever put liquid in a sponge, and the reason they used a sponge is that so someone could get a full drink without putting a cup that would spill. I think we've all used sponges, and when someone puts liquid into a sponge, it fills that sponge completely, to not to overflowing, but to fullness. To the point where you grab it, if you begin to squeeze it just a little bit, the liquid begins to flow from that. And that's the imagery God is giving here as far as the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It's not just a little bit, it's not just a half measure. It's a filling to the point where it's dripping from us. I know we like to think overflowing, but I think that word full means it's actually just a flowing from us or exuding from us, being saturated with the Holy Spirit, which talks about the nature of these gifts that we have, because Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and then Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. And these gifts are given to us through three things. Number one, by God's grace. And one thing I want you to know this morning, my friend, as you listen to this message, especially those of you who have not yet made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation, of being forgiven, does not depend upon anything you do. It's solely dependent upon God's grace. God loves you and sent Jesus to die for you right as you are right now. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, I don't care what you've done, I don't care what you're doing right now, if you drop everything and ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, he'll do just that. Why? Because God's gifts, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, are given to us because he loves us and wants to bless us. So these gifts that come through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, come by the grace of God through faith. They are applied, they are available to us, but only become ours when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And the Bible teaches us we are not only saved by faith, but we are also called as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another name that people who know Jesus are given, believers. We are called to live by faith. Faith being the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. I believe that God saved me, and so I believe God will use me, and I believe God will bless me. Why? Because my God is a gracious God who loves me. And these gifts that come by God's grace through faith are made real and possible through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. So in addition to salvation, and in addition to these, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in his fullness in us, what are these gifts that you and I can expect as we live for Jesus? Well, number one, we can expect the gift of God working through us to touch other people. How many out there today want to have a life that matters? Well, let me tell you something about having a legacy. Sometimes, now in the world thinks in order for you to have a legacy that lasts, you need to have done something. You need to have built a great company or won a great war or done something of that nature or held a particular political office. And I'm not saying those things aren't important and they don't matter. Obviously, to a greater or lesser extent, those things do. But let me tell you what won't last eternally. And that's money or achievements or anything that this world has to offer. The only thing that will last eternally, beyond our relationship with the Lord Jesus, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, our faith in Jesus, it is what we have invested in other people. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. The only thing that's going to exist when time expires and God sets up his eternal kingdom is God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, the angelic heavenly hosts, and human beings. Everything else is sand. If you want your life to matter, allow God to use you for his glory. And one of the gifts that God gives us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the gift of the ability to bless other people. Jesus describes it this way in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." You know, when you receive Jesus, you not only receive forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt and shame and all those things, you have a brand new sense of purpose in your life because God now has a calling upon your life to build his eternal kingdom, which isn't buildings, which isn't monies, which isn't armies. It's people who have put their faith in Jesus. And there's only one clear recipe to build the kingdom of God, and that's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in those verses that I read just a few moments ago. The healing of the sick for the glory of God, the casting out of demons to those who are oppressed so that they might be clear-minded and free of spirit to receive Jesus, and most importantly, the preaching of the gospel, which is the opportunity to lead an individual from a place of sin and death to a place of life and peace. That ability becomes yours when you receive Jesus and the power, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit rests upon you. Not only do we have that gift of having that life of purpose and being able to make eternal impacts upon the lost, we are also able to supernaturally help one another live for God and make it. May I say this morning, just briefly, it's not the thrust of my message, but it's important to note. It's not only important for someone to receive Christ, it's also important that we remain faithful to Christ, that we keep believing on Christ until either he returns or until God calls us home to be with him. The Bible is very clear as far as teaching that, because the Bible says, "He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved." And the Bible, unfortunately, shares several instances where people either left or departed the faith. They stopped believing in Jesus. But another aspect, another divine purpose that we have, and another beautiful gift that we have through the Holy Spirit, our wonderful spiritual gifts and callings upon our lives that God can use to help us help one another make it, to keep our faith in Jesus. Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, "Now you are Christ's body," talking about the local church, the local body or group of believers in Jesus. "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts, healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." And we can get more into it. There's a lot here. This is just kind of a summation, of supernatural callings and supernatural giftings. But they're representative of what the Holy Spirit does within us to help each other make it. There are different callings: the calling of apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. Those who minister the word of God one to another, help one another through the anointed teaching and preaching of the word of God. It's not just pastors. God raises up prophets and evangelists and teachers within the body of Christ to minister to one another. And there's also supernatural giftings of prophecies, miracles, healings, and other supernatural wonders. Why? To build up the body of Christ. That's what they're for if you read 1 Corinthians 12 in its entirety. Not just for us to have a thrill. I mean, it's exciting when you hear a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge or a gift of healing is demonstrated. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to strengthen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't just God working through us, it's also God working in us and making us people beyond what we ever hoped or imagined that we could be. You know, I am a pastor, and I thank God for that calling upon my life. But I am so much more than that. I am, and who I am this morning just briefly stated, I am a child of God who is growing in His grace, wisdom, knowledge, love, and spirit. And if I was to stop pastoring today, God is still working within me, and there are still wonderful things in my life that I, not only have I seen, I will continue to see as I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful. For one thing, I thank God because of this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit working in me and through me. I now have victory over sin, that which I didn't have before I came to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Paul said, "In my flesh dwells no good thing. My old nature is weak. My old nature desires anything but God. And the new man that I am in, Christ, desires to do good. But if I just rely on my own strength, I could never make it. But I thank God because God has sent His Holy Spirit. And so as I walk in the Spirit, I have victory over sin." and the dangers and evil that sin introduced into my life. But thank God I not only have power over sin, over the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. I also have within me a growing Christian character, a growing godliness, a growing spiritual maturity that makes me, in a humble sense this morning, proud of who I am. I can now look myself in the mirror, not because of what I have achieved on my own, but because of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is in me. Reading Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit gives victory over our, not only gives us victory over our old nature, it forms within us a wonderful, beautiful, Christ-like person who not only gives glory unto God and becomes an admiration of men as far as what they can be, is extremely satisfying to my own soul. I can finally be proud and at peace with the person I am because of Christ who is in me. And right along with that, and I guess it can go along with the works of the flesh and growth in the spirit, but it's so powerful, I'd like to take time to address it singularly this morning because of the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. I have masteries now over fear and now live under the power, because Christ lives within me through his Spirit, the power of unfailing love, of supreme confidence, of assurance, and a sense of belonging. Let me quickly read to you two scriptures that speak to that this morning. First, from Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "You have not received the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Fear, because we're saturated with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit saturating our souls. Fear is dispelled. Perfect love casts out fear. And we are filled with the spirit of adoption. It gives us assurance that, number one, we are loved. I am loved by God. And with those feelings of love, I am accepted by God. And I belong in God's family. Friend, if you're home today and you feel isolated and alone, no one loves you, no one cares about you, everyone hates you, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will become part of the family of God, and you will have that sense of belonging that you never even thought could exist. Right along with that, as far as assurance, as far as who you are and whom God has called you to be and called you to do, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Hallelujah. One of the things I think everyone, even people who appear to be the very, very confident, one of the issues that people have so often is an issue with self-confidence, whether they are good enough. It's why people are always trying. It's why why things are never enough because they find their value in things and in the approval of people. But once you accept God's free gift of grace, know that God loves you just the way you are and He'll never change. And you never have to live your life with a spirit of low self-esteem, feelings that you don't measure up, because the Spirit of the living God within you gives you an overwhelming feeling of confidence, assurance, and as demonstrated by the apostles on the day of Pentecost, boldness. Now, those are pretty spectacular. And I could end the message right now. And maybe a few of you wish I did. But I guess you can turn me off at any point. As wonderful as those gifts are, without this last gift, the greatest gift, all these gifts are nothing. And what I mean by that is this. I'm not saying that those aren't wonderful gifts. They certainly are. The gifts of purpose, the gifts of empowerment, the gift of love, sense of belonging, all these different things that we're talking about. But if there is no hope beyond this life, if the gifts of the Holy Spirit did not include the gift of eternal life, the hope of not only the knowledge that Jesus himself rose from the dead, but in doing so, provided the means for you and me, if we have put our faith in him to rise from the dead, then it's worth nothing. Let me read two verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 14 says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. This was a church Paul was speaking to that for some reason bought into the idea that the resurrection had already passed or there was no resurrection. It was a church that experienced a lot of the supernatural things that we're talking about, and people definitely came to Jesus. People experienced a lot of things. But when it came down to it, Paul said, if you take out the resurrection and therefore take out its impact, and all these things, as wonderful as they are, don't really mean a whole lot because they end. Reading verse 19, it just reinforces this same line of thinking. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. There has to be something more to the ministry of the Holy Spirit than just signs and wonders and, you know, purpose as far as touching people and becoming more than who we are, as great as those things are. If there is nothing eternal, then according to the Apostle Paul himself, it's all in vain. And we are of all men to be most pitied, both believer and unbeliever. And the reason he said that was because of death and of death's inevitability. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it is appointed unto man once to die. And if there's no resurrection, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he just provided forgiveness for us, but no hope or no means to break the shackles of this earthly life and enter into the glory and the splendor of God's presence, then it's really not worth anything, because there's no hope beyond the grave. Whether you're a prince or a pauper, you end up in the same place. Whether you're a good man or bad man, you end up in the grave. Whether you've done a great many things or just a few things, you end up in the grave. Everyone has the same destiny. This the resurrection, especially this year, has really spoken to my heart because, of course, Friday I just lost my uncle to the coronavirus, and about a month ago we said our final earthly farewells to my mother. And I think of my mother's life in light of these words that Paul shares regarding the importance of the resurrection and how without the resurrection and the greatest gift that the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us, that being hope beyond the grave, how true those words are. Mom was someone who found Christ at a very young age. She was someone who was a very faithful church member. She raised my brother and I to serve the Lord. She served God faithfully at her church. She shared Jesus with other people. She encouraged people. She prayed people. She was blessed many ways in her life. God did many things in her, through her. But her death was less than pleasant. The last few months of her life did include much suffering. And if all there was this life and no hope of a resurrection, one could only come to the conclusion that all of her godly living was in vain. But I stand before you this morning to say her life wasn't in vain, not because she was a good woman and she was a wonderful woman, not why she was saved. And not only because she was forgiven by the grace of God, but because Jesus Christ rose again. And the promise of God is that if the Spirit, in fact, let me read it to you from Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And the Bible tells us the greatest gift that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is the same resurrection that Jesus Christ experienced over 2,000 years ago. Arising from the dead, not to die again, as people who were raised from the dead, what happened before Jesus rose, but the resurrection that Jesus himself experienced, rising from the dead to never die again. Paul puts it this way in the concluding verses of 1 Corinthians 15. Death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, he defeated sin. And when he rose again, he defeated death for all those who would put their faith and their trust in you. This morning, as I close, you might be sitting there, and I hope you all have received Christ personally by faith as your Savior. And let me say this. There are times in our lives when we experience some wonderful things from God, mighty, mighty miracles. Incredible, we hear and see incredible things, incredible prophecies. And all those things are wonderful. But there will come a time when our health fails, when we're all alone, and we know the time of our departure is near. And just like my mom did, she knew her time was coming. And just like the Apostle Paul did, as we read in 2 Timothy, in those chapters, in those four chapters. There, at that time, there is no more needed time, and God is faithful to remind us, to remember and to latch on and to live in the power of the greatest gift that God has given us through His Holy Spirit. And that's the assurance of the resurrection, that although this physical body may die, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And someday, when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ will be raised, and our corruptible bodies will put on incorruptible. And we will be forever with the Lord, and it will never end.